Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston. Tonight, I'm joined by the Robert to my Sala to discuss the NFC round, the NFC section of the 2020 division round of the NFL playoffs. How are you doing tonight, Taylor?
I'm not doing well, man. I'm just, you know, hanging out. I'm just trying to watch some Pixar films. And once again, you're disrupting me for my evening.
It's the playoffs.
Dude, I'm on like a marathon run here. I've done some Coco. I've done some Soul. This is where I'm at in my life. You're just trying to ruin it, throw a wrench, say, Taylor, you have work.
Well, the problem is that NFL gave you six playoff games last weekend. But there's some breaking news we talked about last episode. Urban Meyer is going to Jacksonville. Robert Sala is going to the New York Jets.
What does that mean to me?
He's the defensive coordinator at San Francisco. He's going to New York. I think it's a good spot, though. I like that. I like that hiring.
As head coach?
Head coach.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And the Jets have a pretty good defense. Like, Quinn Williams, something you can anchor entire defense around. Like, their defense is pretty good. It's just a lot of players you don't know about, like Bleshawn Austin and Marcus May and Fokanuwu, that guy from Stephen F. Austin.
What'd you call me?
Fokanuwu.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
A lot of guys,
son of a bitch.
A lot of guys like that. But I think that's a good spot. Like, I think the Jets are also a team, too. Like, they just need somebody who's confident, you know? Somebody who can lead some men and, like, get, like, some level of normalcy in that franchise. And I think Sala can do exactly that.
Hey, I just want to jump to this again here because it's part two. We got to just keep going with my hatred and my laughing of you.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Deshaun Watson, for me, if they don't hire the Kansas City coach, he's gone.
I don't think so.
I think so. If they don't hire the Kansas City coach, he is so gone. I think that's the only person he wants. And if McNair does not just say, okay, you get him, then guess what? Bye-bye.
I don't think so.
He better at least pick the coach. I'll put it to you that way.
I think they fire Jack Easterby, who's like the priest who's riding the entire team, actually. I think they fire him and be like, yeah, I trust y'all again. Do whatever y'all want to do now after that point. But I don't think she'd be enemy
Isn't
or bust.
The guy that actually had control of everything but didn't get fired when he's the one that put Bill and the GM into place?
No, what happened was Bill brought him to Houston to like be the culture guy, because he's like, that's our problem here in Houston. It's the culture. That's why our offense is very mediocre.
How do I get
mediocre
to have a job that my job title says culture guy?
I have no
How
idea.
Can I have that title? I just want a name tag that says, Taylor, we're bringing you in because you're a culture guy.
I have no
You
idea.
Know how you can bring everybody's spirit up. We got to get ourselves to Taylor.
It, yeah, it definitely sounds like some like postmodern office made up Austin, Texas yes. tech job. But yeah. And then whenever he was there, Bill O'Brien kept giving him more and more responsibilities because they were best friends. And all of a sudden, they become the general managers after they fired Brian Gaines, trying to bring Nick Caserio in. And now Caserio's the general manager because Easterby's still there. And the whole thing's a mess, but I don't know. I can't see Watson being traded. He's under contract to like 2024.
Yeah,
is he going to stop playing football for 4 years?
Look at James Harden.
It's not the same thing.
All I know is that Houston has a butt
it's
show
so
all around here when it comes to their sports. And it's the funniest thing for me to be able to sit back and watch because my teams suck all around.
Yeah, yeah.
So at least they're not trying to make me hate them even more. Your teams are doing all they
Don't
can.
Don't hear like, me. These aren't my teams.
Oh, I'm sorry. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, for the part two, I'm sitting across a Buffalo Bills jersey. Again. How
get used
am
to
I?
It. Oh. You got three more weeks
used to
of
it.
It.
We're done with this.
We're going to Super Bowl.
We're done
this
with
year.
This after this week.
Well, you know, my favorite thing about the Harden thing is it's like for what, 8 years, all we heard was James Harden's actually really good.
None of the Houston people will admit to us,
he's
by the
so
way,
good.
That we were right.
James Harden, no, he's a loser.
He's a loser.
The problem with James Harden is this. You can't be somebody in the regular season who does every single thing, who controls the ball all the time and carries the entire team.
Else.
And now it's the postseason. Now you're like, actually, we're passing the ball.
We're going to give it to this guy.
And then everybody's like, actually, we never did this all year. And now you want us to do this because you're a coward? That was what was wrong with James Harden.
And Eric Gordon goes 3 for 12. P.J. Tucker 3 for 12. And like, guys, what are we all doing?
You pass us the ball when you never pass us the ball.
And there was only 2 seconds left on the shot clock.
And that when they lost to San Antonio, what was that, 15, when Ginobili blocked him? Funniest thing of all time.
It's the funniest thing
the
of all time.
The game-winning block by the 41-year-old Ginobili was the funniest thing
That's
of all time.
That's what you need to be able to tell you who James Harden is. You know why? Because he wasn't looking to make the shot. He was just looking to body bump him.
Yeah.
That's it.
He was trying to the free throw line. That's
all he was doing, not to make the shot.
And it was the entire ball got devoured.
And by the way, this will be the last thing we talk about NBA. The big controversy in NBA, you hear about what Trae Young does?
No.
That whenever a guy, they set a screen, guy's running behind him, Trae Young will immediately pop up, back his body back into him. You know how you stop that? You immediately hit him. If you're going to get a foul call anyways, you know how you stop that when he backs in you? You hit him good.
Okay.
And you just put him on the ground because he's tiny.
Yeah.
And he's like my size. And I swear to God, if a guy your size hits me on the side when I'm jumping up trying to get a foul, I'm not laughing. Instead, I'm grabbing my side going, okay, I won't do it again.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to put him on his ass. I'm tired of that.
I'm tired
of that crap.
So these games, we may have some bad games this weekend. Who knows? Kansas City, Cleveland may be like a 31-point game. Do you have any entertainment options for the football fan who's like, I don't want to watch the end of this Cleveland blowout. What am I going to do in the meantime until Sunday Night Football begins?
You know, with this type of audience, you know what? This is the one that I can't stand about this type of audience here that we speak to with our 6 million listeners. This is what I can't stand.
Everything about our audience is great. Don't say this.
This is what I can't stand. I bet you they're all Tenet fans. I bet you they all love the Christopher Nolan Tenet movie that just came out a while back, but it's now on the Blu-ray. I just watched it for the first time. You know, it's a piece of crap. Tenet.
You know,
it's not a good movie.
Oh, you know what?
Tenet.
You know what Tenet is backwards?
What is it backwards, Matt?
Tenet.
Oh, you know why? Because the movie's about going. The movie doesn't make sense.
Ooh.
The movie doesn't make sense. And if I just, Denzel Washington's son should never get an acting job again. If I have to watch him, and I made
not
this complaint when he was on Ballers, by the way.
Not any acting job?
He should never get an acting job.
Not one?
He is not a good actor.
Okay.
Not a good actor. I'm so happy that you're Denzel's son. Oh, my Lord. Your father is a wonderful human being all around and a great actor to us all. You're garbage.
See, this
Take
is
a
why,
seat on the bench.
This is why we're not on television, because you say these things like this.
What? This is what? What are you talking about? This is honesty.
Denzel's keeping us back, dude.
All I know is if you want to watch something great, turn on some Bridgerton on Netflix.
Right.
Go back to some 1800s, some classiness. I feel like I should be a duke these days, wearing a suit at all times, just talking like, where are you?
You have a movie
I need
you
my
to watch them,
maid.
Right?
I need my butler. I need you to bring me what I need. I just need some tea.
You know, you know what you need to watch?
What I need?
Barry Lyndon.
What's Barry Lyndon?
It's so good.
What is that?
It's like about
the
exact
when
time
was it
period.
Made?
78.
I hate you.
No, okay, listen. Stop. They filmed it all. They did all the lighting. They lit individual candles to shoot the shots in. It's absolutely beautiful. You love it. Barry Lyndon.
Okay. They made those scenes with actual candles
because
there's no electricity in the time period that you watch this movie.
No, it came.
That's when the movie was shot.
Kubrick.
There was no electricity at this time.
It's Stanley Kubrick.
Maybe then.
Watch it. It's spectacular.
Well, that means it falls down some type of hole.
It's absolutely spectacular.
I don't know. I'm not going to go. I'm going to go watch my Bridgerton. 8 episodes, already binged it. You want to know why? I'm a sucker for love.
That's good.
That's all it is.
If my girlfriend's listening to this, don't watch Bridgerton.
She better be
it's
watching
very
it.
Bad.
She needs
you
to be watching some
watch
Bridgerton
it.
Tonight. You know what gets
nope.
anybody hot and heavy? Watch some Bridgerton. Tell me those sex scenes aren't real. Tell me what they're doing is not real. Oh, yeah. By the way, TVMA. I don't go anywhere
no,
else.
No, we're watching The Sopranos all summer.
Okay.
That's
see,
how we're doing.
No, because nobody wants. Oh, my God.
We watched The Sopranos all summer.
Go back to 2002.
No, it came out 402. It came out pre 9/11, dude.
Okay. You're not making
different America.
You know what, Matt? This isn't making it better. This is just proving my point that you watch anything pre 2000.
It's the funniest show of all time.
It's not.
It's the funniest movie of all time.
That's not the point of Sopranos, is to be the biggest comedy of all time.
It's the funniest show of all time.
I'm pretty sure it's classified under drama.
It doesn't matter.
You know, I think it does when it comes to the actual. What's the word? The actual genre of it? Yeah. It's
hilarious.
Drama.
The drama is hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what the drama, you know what the type of show it is? Italian. That's what it is.
That's what makes you laugh?
Yeah, yeah.
You like it's Peter like, and Family Guy.
It's like, what's the cat? What type of like show is Sopranos? Oh, it's Italian. It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're Peter from Family
it's
Guy.
It's Nick Allegretti.
That's what you are.
No, I'm not. All right, so the NFC, we have Los Angeles, Green Bay. The Packers are 6.5-point favorites. We have Tampa, New Orleans. The Saints are 3-point favorites. Starting here at Green Bay, the weather, 25 degrees and snowing in Green Bay on, I guess this game is going to be Saturday afternoon at 3:30, the first game of the weekend. This game is going to be the number one defense against the number one offense. Do you have any hope for the underdog Los Angeles Rams in this one?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not? Is it because of the weather? Or is it because it's also of Jared Goff?
We also have some dispute here. Jared Goff is already saying that there's reports, I should have been the starter last week. I think it's a ridiculous notion that I was not the starter. So you're already having your quarterback throwing hissy fits because he feels like that his thumb was good enough. But, man, how cold is it going to be on Lambeau Field here?
You may say it again.
I need you to say it again.
25 degrees and snowy.
You know what that means?
Run the football.
Those pins in that thumb, my man.
They're going to be cold.
They're going to be cold. That thumb is not going to be feeling it like it would. Whenever you have an injury such as that, whenever there's some type of metal, it's not going to feel good on that body.
Where'd you get your MD at?
Oh, you know where I got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man. I got it on the internet.
Okay.
So
the Caribbean?
Yeah, it was actually on Reddit.
You got from Costa Rica?
I got it on Reddit.
You got your MD from Costa Rica?
I clicked a link, and it took me to a page.
Okay.
Now, there was some, like, anime stuff, hentai, but I exited out of that.
Yeah, so. Dr. Hentai.
Yeah, exactly. But it was some good stuff. Either way, all I know is when you have an injury like that, it's just not going to look good. And that's not even me just being like, oh, I'm a doctor. Man, when you have a cut or something, or you have pins in you, or you have anything like a... When I broke my arm, for example, and I was in a cast, what always made the cast not feel well, my arm felt numb, was the cold weather.
Okay.
That's God's honest truth.
Yeah.
And you want to disagree with me? Go to hell. But that's not
the only
reason. I'm
not disagreeing with you.
I just don't think the Rams are that good.
With Goff, they need to make this a two-throw game for Goff. That's what they did last week in Seattle. He made two throws. He hit that vertical route to Cooper Kupp because Jamal Adams is so funny.
Is Cooper playing?
Yeah, he's playing.
Okay.
Jamal Adams is the funniest player in the NFL. He's hysterical.
He's the worst player in the NFL.
Just like he's a defensive end. He led the team in sacks. They gave up so much for him. He can't cover it all. He can defend the run. And it's like just you can find like
you and I argued
a third
this.
Safety who can do this. And also just like the way he reacts to every play and how much crap he talks.
He should have been
thrown
out. And
like how sad he gets every single time he gives up a play like that.
He should have been thrown out last game.
Why?
He hit the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. And the fact that there was not even a flag on it, it's like, okay, well, now I know what you do when it comes to these type
of
corners.
Well, he was a runner is the thing.
Man, he was sliding.
I know. He's a runner, though.
But he was sliding. It wasn't
like... Well, it was similar to the Wentz thing last year.
He was sliding, though.
Wentz actually didn't slide. He
did.
Yeah,
and that's what you and I argued about, and I still said that it was an illegal hit on Wentz. And
no,
you
that
said
was
no.
Illegal. That was fine.
Yeah, exactly. So that one was fine, according to you, which I still say no.
Yeah.
Was this one fine?
It was bad.
This one was bad.
Yeah.
This one did not look good for me because it's clearly he's sliding. He's giving himself up, and he's going down. Then Jamal Adams is jumping at him. It should have been thrown out. But no, if it was Ramsey, Jamal Adams, any one of these top corners, we give them beneficial treatment. Don't talk to me when you're a defensive player. Oh, all the receivers get everything. No, Ramsey is so handsy. I can't
I'm going to add this other thing about Goff. So last week he made two throws. He made that throw to Kupp.
There we go.
And he made the wide open throw to Robert Woods on the corner route off play action. Two throws. That was all he needed to make. They won 30-20. Seattle also had a good coward's punt that I forgot to write about this week in 10 things. I think it's kind of gone a little bit forgotten where they like didn't allow them to call a play on 4th-and-1 and took a delay of game penalty instead of calling a play and punted. And then they also had their guy fumble the punt kind of closely afterwards. And they lost 30-20, including like a garbage time, touchdown as well too. But the Rams are the best defense in football. And there are like a few things in this game where they have the opportunity to make it close. One is they have the best deep pass defense in football. Their DVOA is -36.8% deep passes. And like one of the things that Rodgers is great at and the Packers are as a whole are great at are like picking their deep shots and chances to throw downfield. And the Rams play like two high safety shells. And so like you're not going to get those same throws like Marquez Valdes-Scantling is just like running down the field untouched, or you had Devontae Adams on the outside, like a 1-versus-1 matchup against like a bad cornerback, you know. It's going to be hard for Green Bay to like get quick points like that because of how good the Rams are with their deep pass defense.
You know I'm not a Green Bay fan whatsoever.
Yeah.
I hope
Which of these teams do you like less?
I hope Devontae Adams destroys Ramsey.
Okay.
I hope that Devontae has the 170-yard game, and I hope it's 12 catches. By the way, you know he's like top receiver in the league, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know he missed 3 games.
Yeah.
For the amount of
he
targets
led the league
that he
in
had,
touchdowns.
For the amount of targets that he had, I think it was like 80-something more than the next guy. But the reason why I bring that up is because he missed 3 games.
Yeah, yeah.
So no matter what, they're going to keep trying to feed him. And I'm so excited because the Ramsey crap of being handsy all the time just pisses me off. And I brought it up on the show so many times.
I don't think he was handsy last week.
He wasn't. But that's just because DK is already handsy. This is pretty much who's the bigger muscle guy.
And it was kind of cool last week because like the Rams match Metcalf's physicality. Like yeah, that drag route he ran and Josh Johnson murdered Metcalf, he has never been hit like that before. That was cool. And Ramsey was able to like match him to his upper body strength.
That's great.
What interests me.
Metcalf is still so young.
Yeah, I know. He's like 22.
It's his second year, and we're talking about, he finally got hit.
Well, him and Brown are in their third year next year.
And they're already ginormous.
I like Brown more than Metcalf, though.
Nope.
I do. I'm not saying he's better. I'm just saying like I like watching Brown play more.
Nope.
What interests me in this game with Adams, though, isn't him on the outside. It's him in the slot. And one of the things that Adams is really great at is like being in the slot. Exactly. And it's like, what are you going to do when he goes to the slot? Are you going to follow
They're
Ramsey?
Follow him.
But I don't know, though, because they
kind of. You don't think he'd follow?
They play a lot of quarters, though. They play a lot of too high defenses. And so it's like,
but
are you going to.
One on one like that, Ramsey always follows.
But they don't know that it's not how they play their defense, though.
You don't think Ramsey would do it in the playoffs, though?
I don't know.
I'm saying
I don't know. But I'm saying typically they wouldn't. And so with Adams there in the slot, I don't know what they're going to do there for it. And like Adams, one of the things he's really great at is being the slot and then running those fade routes from there to space. It's like, are you going to put Troy Hill there? But even then, if you run those fades, you have another safety deep there at that point too. So I'm not exactly sure how they're going to be able to get those deep shots. Like the Rams don't blitz very much. They will blitz. They'll rush 5 sometimes, and they do a good job creating individual matchups. You know, Aaron Donald, that's like a 4 eye, is absolutely absurd. And like Leonard Floyd is going to get paid a ton of money and have like 4 sacks somewhere next year. But like they have good players aside from that with, you know, Sebastian Joseph Day and Gaines and Morgan Fox. And he's kind of like underrated, you know, guys kind of came out of nowhere who are like late round picks. And the Rams did a great job at developing like late round picks and undrafted free agents too. And so like, again, I don't know what they're going to do with Adams. And whenever he's in the slot, like this is the first thing I'm going to watch for is like when they put Adams in the slot, how they're going to cover him. Are they going to put Troy Hill there? Are they going to follow Ramsey over there? And like that's the first thing I'm going to watch for whenever this game kicks off.
I actually kind of agree. I will agree that I think that's probably the most intriguing matchup for me. That gets me most interested in this game is being able to watch those two because I hope for annihilation on Ramsey. I just think I hate the Green Bay Packers so much because of how Aaron Rodgers just talked about his season.
Who do you hate more, the Rams or Packers?
And that's where I'm at, dude. That's where I'm at with this. This is so conflicting for me. I think I would hate the Rams more because at least I don't want the Rams to get any type of more credit. No matter what, Aaron Rodgers is going to get the credit. Even if he loses, they're going to blame something else. Or they'll just say, ooh, Aaron just had one of his off nights. That's all they'll just say. It's just an excuse for
it. Say, how about that Los Angeles defense?
But the Rams, they'll start blowing up Jared Goff. And if I have to hear another blow up of Jared Goff, if I have to hear more about how great the Los Angeles Rams are, I'm going to blow my brains out with this.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that's impressive is Dom. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I really like their defense.
Well, Dom.
They have the best defense in football.
I'm not doing this with Ramsey. Stop.
Yeah. I'm okay. You can't. You don't
Stop
have
it.
To
I'm
do
not
that
with
Ramsey.
With Ramsey.
That's fine.
I'm not doing this.
But like one of the things I really like about the Rams defense is how much they've done with late round picks and kind of guys out of nowhere. Like I told you like 4 weeks ago, I was like, I didn't like the Rams at all. I was like,
we both hated them. We didn't even expect them to make it this far whatsoever.
Well, yeah, but we had this conversation like a month ago. I was like, I kind of like the Rams, you know?
Oh my God.
And so like, I'm really excited for this game. And I really have enjoyed watching this Rams defense for the last like, you know, 6 weeks or so now. So the Rams defense, they're first in net yards at 10 at 5.1. They are first in passing yards allowed, 3,051. First in points allowed, 246. The one thing about this game, though, for their defense is with they don't have any good linebackers. And, like, not necessarily their linebackers aren't good. They're a lot of, like, late-round picks and undrafted free agents. And so it's like, what Tampa Bay did so well against Green Bay is how Lavonte David and White were able to shut down their toss plays and be able to actually chase and stop their screen games, stop their exterior runs. And so, like, how well I think one of the key points of this game, though, is, like, how well Los Angeles' linebackers play to stop Aaron Jones.
You think
Jones
that they're even close
plays
to what Tampa Bay had that
no,
game?
I never
yeah,
said
okay.
that. Never
no,
said
no,
that.
No. I'm actually asking.
I'm saying, like, that's what I'm interested in watching this game, though. It's, like, how fast
can they be able to upgrade the game.
Can they make tackles and Aaron Jones outside the tackles? Because, like, the Packers, like, it's they're going to be able, I think, to be – they have the best – like, they have the most balanced offense.
They're going
to
control it.
They have the best offense this year. But it's like, how do they consistently create easy yards? Because I don't think the deep shots can be available for them.
But that's kind of going back to the point of what you even mentioned. I feel like Aaron Jones also – I feel like this is a very extremely balanced team where we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, but yet there's the other Aaron that's also being handed the ball. Mm-hmm. And he's
incredible.
He's
like
fantastic.
Kamara. He's like Kamara.
Whoa, I'm now going.
He's not as good as
exactly,
Kamara, but
I would say
like
just
Kamara.
A step below.
Like how I compare Mahomes to Allen. It's the similar thing with Kamara and Aaron Jones. He's just like a light beer version of him.
Maybe that with the running backs. Don't compare Josh Allen to P. Mahomes. Just don't do that in front
he's
of him.
He's the shiner light blonde version of him being a jellyfish.
It doesn't matter, but the jellyfish is so much different than the shiner light blonde.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they are.
Well, you make me sick by your comparison sometimes, okay? Because I know you want to bring Josh Allen into every conversation, but we talked about him last episode. Just get him out of this episode. Get your jersey off. We're done with it. All I want, though, is for Aaron Jones to be able to run this ball down the Rams' throat. And I see it happening, but I also see more of the Devontae Adams aspect happening because I think that the Rams are going to be, because of the weather, how cold it's going to be, they're going to be more expecting the run, and then it's going to be able to give Rodgers the shots to be able to throw it to Adams.
Well, again, that's the thing about this game is the deep passing part of it because like, the Packers have been able to create instant points all year. Like, even when Lazar was healthy, they're able to use him like that. Marcus Valdes-Scantling's been great like that. Rodgers, for passer rating compared to league average, plus 9.7 deep left, plus 46.1 deep middle, plus 56 deep right compared to league average on deep passes. Like, again, I just don't see that being really feasible. I think if more of their passing offenses come from kind of more of the short game, be able to flood the interior of the short middle of the offense. Like, one of the things I was really dumb about that Seahawks game, going back and watching the video on it, it took them to like the third quarter to like flood the interior and create an open throw. And you're like, how did it take y'all 40 minutes to run this play? And also, like, Seattle's tight ends were terrible last week. They were bad at blocking. They dropped a ton of passes. Yeah, Dizzler.
Didn't show up at all.
Olsen didn't. Dizzley didn't. Hollister didn't. All three had terrible games. And it's like, they have the Packers can toss Tanyan out there. They always have some no-name tight ends that will come in as well, too. But, like, how they're able to use their rollout game, how they're able to use their understanding, like, to flood the zone coverage, and even when they go empty to flood the zone coverage, be able to create, like, holes in it, is something that the Seahawks failed dramatically at. And, like, the Seahawks, like, the Rams stopped Seattle in every matchup they played this year against them, too. But I do think, like, the Packers have the intelligence and the ability to be able to, like, hit those kind of shorter passes and flood their quarters defense when they can. But for Los Angeles, like their offense, again, it comes down to like Goff has two throws. Just if he can hit two throws, that's how this game needs to be set up for him. But the one thing they can do, though, is they should be able to run the ball outside the tackles. Against the left edge, they're in the best rushing attacks off the left edge. Pretty good against the right edge. But the Packers defense, they've been below average against the run this year. Preston Smith has been fat this year. Nobody wants to mention it. I think he has one sack. He had like 12 last year.
Now you're calling people fat boy?
Is that what he has no definition to his arms anymore. And then Rashawn Gary is their first-round pick. I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago was the number one recruit of high school. Has never actually like produced in college or at the NFL level at all. And so like how well they play on the edges, I think, is really important. And they've been using Za'Darius Smith on the interior more as a, what they call a spinner, which I don't like calling it that. But it just means putting an edge rusher over the interior. But then they'll play him on the exterior. And with Green Bay, Kenny Clark's been awesome lately, too. And so, like, if Clark and Lowry are good in the interior and they're able to get something out of Preston Smith on one edge, I think they'll be able to control Cam Akers some. But that's how Los Angeles has to win this game, though. The defense has to be great. They have to hold Green Bay to, you know, 24 points or whatever. Goff has to hit two throws. And then Cam Akers has to have, like, a great game running in the exterior. And then, in addition, that's, like, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp with their screen game and then with their jet sweeps, too.
I think this team is too banged up. After everything that you're just going through and all that.
It's only one player that's banged up,
but
though.
But even Cooper Kupp doesn't look good. And he was limping off the field last game. And then
they'll just shoot him up.
That's all you're saying. See, I just feel like that this team is just, when it comes to that offense, you're not going to be able to put up the points. So what you're strictly relying on is being able to stop Green Bay. And that's what you're kind of alluding to.
That's what they have to do.
And that you believe that Rams kind of have a shot. It sounds like you're talking yourself into this game more than anything. I can't do that. You're wanting me to believe that this offense, when it comes to Green Bay, who you and I have hated on since the beginning of the season, which you and I were wrong
about.
We
changed our mind pretty quickly.
We did. After about the
third game. Even like week one, you're like,
third game.
They kind of, like week one when they play Minnesota, and they're like, oh yeah, they can't stay on top of these routes. We'll just throw vertical bombs over and over again. Like they weren't doing that this last year
at all.
But the one thing that was weird, LaFleur's been spectacular this year. Like he should be the coach of the year. The one game that he had was bad was that loss to Minnesota. We're like, this is the 2019 Packers offense, and they scored 13 points that game, you know? And so like, I don't think he's going to do it in the postseason, but he still kind of scares me a little bit with their game plan as well, too. But I don't know. So the way I have this game, I have Green Bay winning.
I'm really interested in what you have for this game.
I have Green Bay winning 24-20, but the spread at 6, I'm going Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's going to be close.
Okay. No. I have the Green Bay Packers 38, and I have the Los Angeles Rams 20. I don't think this is going to be close at all. And you talked yourself into this type of matchup for some reason.
No, I haven't.
I have nothing.
So,
you are so impressed by this Rams defense.
I have one more
stat
for you.
What do you got?
The Rams have lost one game by more than one score when they lost to Seattle 20-9. That's the only game they've lost by more than one score.
To me, the offense is banged up.
I understand that.
And you're expecting their
defense
to be
able to
perform.
Only one player is banged up.
You say one player, but I say it's more than one player.
Maybe two players.
Okay, they're most important. Whitworth's
back.
The most important?
I think their run game is the most important.
Oh, okay. You make me sick by saying that Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp are not the most important out of that offense.
I think Goff's probably
That's
like,
disgusting.
I think Goff's probably like the seventh most important person in this offense. I think Blake Bortles could run this offense. They need him too.
Oh, my God. Okay, now I know that we're just reaching here.
No, Blake Bortles is backing
the
up this week.
The offense didn't even look the same. Well, who is their starter?
What was his name
last week?
Quarterback?
Yeah.
Wolford.
Even when you watched him play, the only thing that he had that Jared Goff...
run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the moment that Jared Goff was able to come in and able to throw the ball, it just opened the game up to where Seattle just gross.
Well, again, he made two throws. Again, if Goff, they can play this game set where they can make two throws for Goff.
Can't make those throws.
And that's it. Yeah, that'll be fine. I would pick the Rams last week if Goff was playing. It was Wolford, so pick Wolford.
I think you and I did say that, though.
We alluded to it.
Yeah, you and I hinted at it.
Yeah, didn't get the chance to. So next game, I don't think there's any chance Green Bay scores 38 points since this defense.
38-20, all right. Matt.
I like it.
All right.
I like where your head's at. The next game, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. The Saints are at home.
Wow.
They're 3-point favorites.
By the way, this is the game. This
is
the game here.
So there are two matchups this year, week one and week eight.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans won 34-23 and 38-3. Tom Brady in those two games, 45-74. 448 yards, 6.05 yards an attempt, 6 sacks, and the big thing, 2 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, 13 points a game. Those 5 interceptions were, you know, really what killed him. That the second matchup, he threw 3. He had 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. It kind of gave away the game in the first half. In the last 5 weeks, do you want the numbers for the last 5 weeks of Brady?
Tell me.
116 for 176, 1,714 yards, 9.73 yards an attempt, sacked 8 times, 14 touchdowns to 1 interception, 35.8 points a game. They have really just like have completely turned around this like 5-game winning streak they're on. And like again, like Washington has a top 5 defense, and they're able to score 31 points. And they were fairly comfortable in the first half. Chris Godwin hurt them, and they have one problem right now on offense though, and that's Alex Kappa broke his ankle. Their right guard. Replacing him this week is going to be somebody who has nobody's ever watched this guy play before. Aaron Stimme.
It's a big deal here.
Aaron Stimme is their right guard.
I've
replacing
heard of
him. You don't know who Aaron Stimme
I've
is.
I've heard of him before. He's got to have somebody that's related to somebody in the league. I've heard of Stimme or Stymie.
He's a third-year player from Minnesota. Nobody's ever watched him play before. In the Washington game, they replaced him with Ted Larson. Ted Larson's been in the NFL for like 9 years. He's very bad. Whenever he came out, that led to the Washington pass rush in the second half. Like, Washington had zero pass rush the entire first half. Brady was comfortable. You had throwing play action, having plenty of time, being able to carry out his dropbacks. And then De'Ron Payne just crushed Ted Larson in the second half and kind of turned that game around for Washington. So, like, now this week, you have Marcus Davenport. You have David Onyemata. You have Shai Tuttle. You have Sheldon Rankins. Cameron Jordan will sometimes line up on the interior, too. And, like, that's the weak point for Tampa Bay, for New Orleans to be able to kind of flood Tampa's offense this game, if they're going to turn Tom Brady into week one, week eight Tom Brady, away from the last 5 weeks Tom Brady that he's been.
Yeah, I feel like that New Orleans Saints, when it comes to their cornerbacks, has an idol, like a statue of Courtland Finnegan in their locker room.
Gardner Johnson.
And this is who they just rub every time that they're going out on the field, saying, this is who I want to be like. Because somehow, these corners have gotten into more fights with every receiver and from every team, including their own, than anybody else. All I know is, whatever they're saying, haha, it may be working, but somebody one of these days is going to rip off that helmet and go to town. And I'm excited for it. Because at this point, the mother effers deserve it.
You didn't like when Miller did it?
No. I need you to stop doing the stupid crap of hitting somebody with the helmet on. I need you to rip off that man's helmet, and I need you to start going to town. Because he is saying things. And it's not normal things, because everybody talks. But the fact that he pisses off even his own teammate shows you what type of guys they are.
It's only one. It's one guy. It's Gardner Johnson. He's been like the best. I love Gardner Johnson.
All I
too.
Know is every time I see this happen, it's two guys. Yeah, it's two guys in between. No, but it's two guys in between one guy from the opposing. It's two.
Everybody's fought Gardner Johnson though.
It's either way. I am excited for something to occur to this human being.
Well, I think Lattimore, Mike Evans got in a fight once too.
Dude, you know he's throwing family members out there. Know he's throwing sisters, mothers, children. There's no holding back with this human being. Which brings me to my other point. I think that's what this comes down to for this game for me, is the New Orleans defense. Not necessarily defining everything,
for sure.
But it's...
it's everybody but Drew Brees.
Exactly. Drew Brees and that flat iron arm, or flat tire arm. Watching last week, dude, it's so disgusting.
It's like an old pancake.
It's so bad to watch. And me having to sit through that game, it's just brutal. Because you just feel like that the New Orleans Saints should be able to open this up, be able to score points. But then watching Drew Brees play the game is so boring, so awful, so old man, where you just feel bad in a way where you're saying, stop, you're done. Saying that to Orleans fans is the funniest thing on planet Earth.
Yeah, they hate it.
Because in the moment that Drew Brees wins, they start blowing up their chest, being like, what did you say? No. Your guy is crap.
And you've been doing this for 5 years now?
Yeah, exactly. And the moment that the money is on the line, not when you're going up against the first-round opponent known as the Chicago Bears, who shouldn't have been in the playoffs.
There we go.
But it's when you're going up against a legitimate team.
Yeah.
I think that the only shot that the New Orleans Saints have, if you stop Tom the way you have, all right. But I think that beating a team, a third team in a row, I think stopping Tom to as bad as he looked with you guys for those two games is impossible to do for a third.
Yeah.
I'm going to say impossible to do for a third. And if it happens, then everyone should just copy tape from New Orleans on what they do with Tom.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to attack the right guard spot, I think, first and foremost.
I think it's a little bit shit. I don't want to see that, because then it's like, yeah, I get that weak spot. But I'm talking about with the other two games, they weren't doing that.
Well, the other two games, the biggest thing they did is they forced him to the sideline.
Yes.
But, like, Tom Brady's gotten stronger as the year's gone on. And
Which usually doesn't happen. It happens
every year.
It's not supposed to.
But I will say this.
Because he saves the arm.
As weird and as grotesque and as
grotesque.
Empty.
What are you going to tell me? What are you showing me? Pull up your pants.
And as empty and as soulless as Antonio Brown is, and how, like, cold it is, it's like watching a shark swim in the water. Like, there's nothing behind his eyes. As much as he is.
Bro, are you talking about the Joker?
He's really has, like, helped their offense out tremendously these last 5 weeks. Like, once him and Brady have kind of morphed together. Because, like, it's him. It's Scotty Miller. It's Gronkowski. It's Brate. It's Godwin. It's Evans. It's absurd how many weapons that he has. And, like, again, Brady averaged 17.3 yards of completion against Washington last week. 17.3.
I don't even care if he loses. What a
spectacular.
What a treat he is. Everyone can say, oh, hey, Brady. The Brady haters to me are undeserved. Because I get if you want to call cheater Bill and all that. But what do you... He's doing it with a new team where he actually has weapons. I don't understand what else somebody has to show. It's like people appreciate P. Mahomes more than Brady.
For sure.
Why?
I mean, because he's younger and he can run and he has a great arm. Younger. And he like...
Hotter. Well, I think, curlier hair.
No, I think part of it too, it's like Mahomes does things that Brady's never done. Because Brady's kind of boring in a way that he plays.
Fair. Except when it comes to when the money's... I don't know if Brady's boring.
I just mean like it's very methodical. Though. It's very precise. It's very like,
but
oh,
it's boring.
It's the same as Peyton. It's like
I'm gonna call Eli Manning boring in the playoffs.
No, he's like a drunk child in the playoffs.
There are guys that I wouldn't call. You know what I call boring in the playoffs? His name is Drew Brees.
He's
awful.
He is very deflating.
And I think it's really funny to me, and you and I have talked, because I've always bitched about this all throughout the year and every single Saints year, the fact that you don't hand the ball to Kamara every single time or just throw him a little screen or toss or just throw him any type of short pass, period, every single time, just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm just laughing every single second that you're not just handing him the ball because he gets 7 yards, and then Bane goes, all right, Breeze, we're going to throw a little something. No, you idiot.
Yeah.
Hand him the ball again.
Well, except for that Minnesota game. He gave him the ball a ton that game. That's really kind of it. I wonder if they were – it's kind of – it felt like that –
supposed to save him for this.
That Chicago game, it felt like they were saving him that game. And it really did. And so, like, this week –
you didn't play him like you should have.
This week for them, it's like, how do you limit Drew Breeze? So you bring Taysom Hill in to throw deep passes because Breeze can't. You give the ball to Kamara 30 times. Like, this is a great run defense that Tampa Bay has. You throw him screens. Whenever he needs a breather, you have Latavius Murray. You have Michael Thomas in playing against man coverage against, like, cornerbacks who can't cover him at all to create first downs on third downs when you need to. You have Emmanuel Sanders occasionally as well, too. You have Jared Cook for, like, your go-up-and-get-it passes that Breeze can kind of leave up in the air for him as well,
he
too.
He only throws to Jared Cook, it seems.
Yeah.
That's all it really does seem like.
It's like, how does everybody else win this game aside from Breeze? And, like, it's possible it's there. I think the one thing for Tampa that was weird last week was they didn't blitz a whole lot. And this year they had the fifth highest blitz rate. They had the third highest pressure rate this league this year. They didn't blitz a lot last week. And so I wonder how much they blitz in Drew Breeze. Like, you have to play man coverage against New Orleans. Like, I know you don't want to. But you have to. You don't have to really be afraid of getting beat over the top. And you can't play zone against Breeze. He's too smart. He's too good at being able to, like, pick holes and be able to maneuver around the pockets. Like, you can't give him 7 yard throws like that, you know?
But to be honest with you, I just feel like that you can't prevent it. And that's just because what you even brought up. You and I were laughing at the beginning of the season, and we still are in ways because he's the Joker. But the fact that you have Antonio Brown and Mike Evans, and then you're throwing it to Scotty Miller.
I don't know what we're talking about now.
And then you were just being able to throw it to Brate. It's more.
I'm just talking about Breeze. I'm confused.
Well, no. I'm jumping to that because it's the difference.
Okay.
It's where he has all the weapons to be able to throw to, and he's going to be able to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
While Breeze, he's not able to get it to his weapons. You're bringing up all these guys where I even made the point. He only threw it to Jared Cook. It's like, I'm going to throw it to the biggest guy that's out on the field that's running the smallest little pattern because that's the only person I'm confident in. Or maybe
I think it's like he can throw it up to him.
Throw it up to anybody downfield.
Well, Cook's enormous. He can throw up to Cook.
I'm talking about downfield. Can he throw the ball more than 30 yards?
I'm talking about, like, you don't have to throw it more than 30 yards.
You're
going
to have to this game.
Maybe not.
Their secondary is the weakest when it comes to the Tampa. So you even brought up their defense, but he
hasn't had to in previous games against this team, though. Like, you don't have to do that. It's better if you do it. Football is more fun when you do it, but they may not have to. Their offensive line's incredible. I think they can pick and poke.
I want you to tell me what their offensive strategy is.
Their offensive strategy cannot be Drew Brees trying to throw the ball 30 yards downfield.
I'm saying like one or two, but you got to be able to give some shots.
That's when you bring Taysom Hill in and you let Taysom Hill throw that. That's what they're going to do. Again, like, everything about this game for New Orleans is the 52 guys who aren't Drew Brees winning this game.
I hate that we're going back to that point. I hate that Drew Brees is playing then. I hate that Drew Brees is playing this game.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't be. And I feel like that even watching last game against Chicago, the New Orleans Saints would be so much better if Taysom Hill was just a starter. If you're just going to be able to just trust him to be able to throw the ball downfield because Drew Brees can't, what is the point of Drew?
I mean, like, he's smart.
What is the point?
He's
of
the heart
Drew?
And soul.
You're telling me he can't do anything then except hand the ball off, which any
quarterback
can
throw,
can do
like
that.
He's smart and he can find holes in the zone and he can throw like 7 yard passes with
the
his
ball
brain.
Takes at least 10 seconds to get to the guy.
Yeah, but he's so smart he makes it work out.
No,
like he's pretty good. Like he's like
Fitzpatrick is smart because he throws it before
no,
anything
Fitzpatrick's
is even
not
run.
Smart.
Well, he just throws it the moment that the ball snaps. He
he's
just
a,
throws it.
He's a mad scientist. He's not
better
smart.
Than what Drew Brees does.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's not smart though. And not use smart as a word to describe Fitzpatrick. But Brees is like very intelligent, and is this one thing they is going for him? Like for like. Going back to the Bucs, the Saints always have a single high safety deep, and so they're not going to allow Tampa Bay to be able to throw those like vertical seam routes.
Here.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like Tampa Bay's deep passes are going to need to come down the sideline, and it's going to be up to like Brady dropping those balls in the bucket down the sideline.
Balls in the bucket, huh?
Yeah.
He's got to be able to put those balls in the bucket yeah. is what you're trying to say
he
here.
He has to do that down the sideline. Because again, like...
He's going
to
do it, by the way.
The middle field is going to be closed for him. Yeah, I'm not saying he's not going to. But I'm saying like he has to. And the second thing...
Drew has to do it,
the
too.
The other concern that I have for Tampa is they can't run the football at all.
What about Fournette's a Fournette, beast, dude. Fournette is such a man out there.
He's slow. He's blind. He's not good. And Ronald Jones may not play again this week. And like this is a big problem
that's
in the red zone because like Tampa has a pretty boom or bust offense where like it's hard. Like so much of their stuff is Tom Brady throwing the ball 15 yards downfield. And it's like, what do you do whenever you get to the 7 yard line? They just try to throw to Gronk. And like when there's three guys, Tom, it's difficult.
Godwin. Gronk, Godwin, Brady.
Yeah, but I'm saying
Evans,
they've had
Brown.
Problems passing in short constrained spaces.
I agree with you on that. Whenever it
and
gets
they
to
have
like
no
the
run
5 yard line,
yeah.
I think they're screwed in yeah. wins. I think that if they're like past that, yeah, they
the
got
30
it.
The 30 yard line, they're great.
They're gonna be making
they're
a touchdown
great.
Every time.
Yes.
The 5 yard line, I agree
the
with 5 yard
line they struggle. It's like somebody who can't putt in golf. It's like I can't putt. But I can be able
I
to chip from the bunker.
I the crap out of the ball, but it's going to take me at least 3 putts to get
yeah.
in the hole.
Yeah, and so like without, and but like if Jones plays, I think Tampa wins this game pretty handily. If Jones doesn't play and it becomes like who's better in the red zone, then I think this game wins this way where New Orleans could possibly win.
You're making fun of me and everything, saying they're not going to do this, blah, blah. The only way that New Orleans is going to be able to win is if Drew Brees is able to throw the ball downfield. It's the only way that's going to be able to happen.
I don't think so. Just
but
because
the
they'll bring
way
Taysom
they can
in.
Win.
But like they can win. They move
they're
the ball in other
be
ways.
They're not going to be able to put up the points.
I just think it comes down. Their defense is great, though. They have a great defense.
And I agree with you on this. All I'm saying is that for New Orleans to win, the game can't be more than 25 points. If it's more than 25 points, then Tampa wins.
Maybe. I think they can
no
score.
No, maybe to me.
I think New Orleans can score 27.
Look what you just said.
30? I think
no,
he scored 30.
Look, now you're trying to convince right. yourself on the 30.
So, all right, Drew Brees the last 3 weeks. You ready?
I'm ready. Give him to me.
69 of 97.
This is disgusting.
777 yards, 8 yards in attempt, 2 sacks, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 35.3 points a game. And the only reason why I mentioned the last 3 weeks is because he said the Kansas City game, he came back too early. And so these are games against, you ready?
I was going to say, who do
Minnesota?
You play against?
Yep. Carolina mm-hmm. and Chicago. I think they scored 24 points against Chicago, 27.
Yep.
And Chicago's a pretty good defense, and it was, you know, he didn't do a whole lot, but.
He knew anything, man. He knew anything.
I don't,
Chicago's just awful.
Again, I don't think this game's going to come down to Drew Brees throwing the ball downfield. I think it comes down to how do they create easy offense to make up for Drew Brees' inability to throw the ball downfield.
You're already going into the game with a handicap, and we have to be able to make this handicap better.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
So you're going in pretty much with, what was it, you know what, to compare? It's like you have your big toe
mm-hmm.
that's not there. Right? Like your left big toe. It's not there. You're going to be able to just have that as you're going into the game. I hope you're okay with your balance.
But what game are we playing?
We're talking about this game.
No, I'm saying, like, what game are we playing?
We're talking about football.
You're missing big toe.
We're talking about football. You're missing your big toe as your quarterback.
All right.
That's what you're doing.
That's fine.
It's the same thing here.
Maybe it's like a three-legged race and you're missing a leg.
Yeah. It's well,
but
no,
that would actually help you out.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to say like you were missing, especially three-legged. Yeah, no, it would help.
You would help only have two legs in a three-legged race.
I just don't see it. And I really do hope in ways that Tom Brady gets his revenge game. Because if he doesn't, this is going to look pretty bad.
No, I think he's good regardless.
I think he's regardless,
okay.
It's just going to be interesting and people will talk. Because it would be New Orleans. And, man, if I have to hear New Orleans, we beat them 3 times.
Yeah.
Dude. Dude.
Well, the thing is, too,
dude.
I think Tampa can beat Green Bay as well. Yeah. I think they're the perfect team to play Green Bay.
You want
to
talk about slaughterhouse?
I'm not saying slaughterhouse.
Blood everywhere.
But, so for, I have one more thing I want to say about this game.
Pirates versus cheese.
Oh, yeah. I do like how the interior of the Bucs offensive line all look like Pirates.
Hold on. Hold on. Matt, there's a pirate ship and they're going up against their own anchor with the Saints. Because that's what the symbol is?
No, it's not an anchor. It's a Florida Lee.
It looks like it. Just help me out with something. No. Your stupid ass Josh Allen jersey. You always act like you're better than me.
It's a Florida Lee. Yeah, I don't have anything else.
I just wanted to say it looked like an anchor. So you would go along with my comparison.
No.
But no, because it wasn't some Why type you of say Josh like, Allen comparison. What? But the anchor's
I mean,
not
Orleans
good enough in a pirate? I was
New,
trying to make you happy.
New Orleans is like a big shipping port, and they're bringing the pirate ship up to bombard them.
See, look, what is so wrong with my
Like the War of 1812?
I hate you.
I don't have anything else for this one, though. I'm excited for it, though.
It's the one game that I'm excited
I'm
about.
I'm excited for
here.
All these game six for Cleveland.
No, I hope you get your heart broken, and the Cleveland one should be a blowout. And when it comes to the Rams, I think they're garbage. So,
well, you've been wrong about the Rams all year. They're not garbage.
We'll see, because I also said that Seattle plays down to their opponent, and we don't know what
well,
Seattle
but
Seahawks
that
wasn't, were going to get.
But that game was more about the Rams being like the perfect poison for
well,
Seattle.
We still also talked about how we... if
Yeah,
we,
but that wasn't a playing down opponent
but
game.
But now they're playing against an actual opponent is my point.
Yeah.
Which is why
I'm not
I don't
say,
think it's going to be
not
anything
saying,
except a slaughter, blood everywhere. How many times
okay.
do I have to say it?
I understand that. I don't think... I think it's more about Los Angeles being the perfect poison to Seattle. Just the way they play their defense. It does suck that Cleveland did pull the upset because we would have Buffalo, Pittsburgh. I mean, we had Buffalo, Pittsburgh. You know, Buffalo walks in the AFC title game.
Oh, my God.
And then we would have had Baltimore, Kansas City.
I'm so upset because I didn't get the layup. That's yeah. all I just heard from you. Me as a Bills fan didn't get the easiest matchup,
my,
so now I'm
I
upset.
Wanted, I want my butt to be like this and says like this.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be clinching the entire time.
Yeah, I am. Uh-huh. I'm not going to have fun.
No.
No.
I'm excited for it. I'm going to be sending you some memes all day long.
Yeah, well, luckily it's
going to be from Anime Boy Lover.
It sucks I'm going to be in Dallas, otherwise we watch it together.
Why are you going to be in Dallas?
Go kiss my brother.
What? Ew. Yeah. He doesn't want you to kiss him. He doesn't even like you. He doesn't even listen to our show.
He doesn't listen.
He doesn't.
No.
You know what? That's not a supportive brother.
Damn.
We yeah, could, think about that, dude.
It's a shame. We could watch this. We could. I don't want to watch Belta with you, actually. It wouldn't be fun.
Why? Actually, that's the one time.
You
that
have to
you
be and, nice to me.
No, you have
well,
never
I'm
been
glad
nice
I'm not
to me
watching
on anything
you.
Whenever we watch a Dallas game or any game where I'm rooting for another team. You just sat there and just smiled and laughed.
No,
that's
not
all
true.
You do the entire time.
That's not true. So for this game, I have Tampa Bay winning 31-27.
Wow. All right. So, no, when it comes to scoring that many points. But I do have Tampa 31. I have the Saints 23.
So, you have New Orleans scoring 23?
Yeah. I don't have them scoring. I told you, I don't have them scoring over 25.
Yeah, I think 31 is a lot, too. But, again, if Alex Kappa was healthy and Ronald Jones was healthy, I think they would win this game fairly easily. But because of those two things, I think it opens the door for New Orleans. It gives them cracks to bombard and break
I'm
through.
I'm really interested in this game.
Yeah, I'm
this
excited for all.
This is actually very no. Stop it with your.
Okay, okay. I'm excited for 3.5 because I think Cleveland
what?
Kansas. I think Cleveland Kansas City's gonna be close at halftime.
Man.
I think it's gonna be close at halftime.
You're better than this.
I think it's gonna be close at halftime, and then Kansas City's gonna win by 24 points, but it's gonna be close at halftime.
You should make a halftime bet.
I want to.
You should probably look up what
I
that is.
No, I can't.
What
bet
if it's
this
like
weekend.
7 points though?
I can't bet this weekend.
Why? What happened last weekend?
I'm not bad at this.
You're like about to cry right now.
No, I mean, like, I'm not going down that path. I'm like, I gotta make my money back.
You gotta make your
that.
Money back. You gotta double the bet.
I made for the Super Bowl, but not this weekend.
Oh, yeah. We got. If Josh Allen makes to the Super Bowl, I'll bet all of my winnings or all of what I have earned from this podcast, which is millions of dollars, I will bet it all on Josh Allen to lose.
Okay.
That is where I'm at.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm going to send an email to SB Nation and be like, hey, it goes needs to go 100% here.
It needs to go 100%.
And if the Bills win the Super Bowl, I'm taking all my podcast money. And I'm donating to Josh Allen's charity is what I'm doing.
What is that? The Boys and Girls Club?
I don't know.
I just named that. That was even me just saying to imply something.
I have
just
no
saying
idea.
It.
I'm
it,
sure
it's usually
something.
It's the Boys and Girls Club.
Josh Allen's Boys
or
and
Red
Girls
Cross.
Club.
The Josh Allen Boys Club.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
the Josh Allen's club for Matt Weston. So to recap,
fantasy hour.
All right, to recap, overall, so picks. I have Buffalo, you have Baltimore, I have KC, you have KC. I have Green Bay winning 24-20 by picking Los Angeles with the spread. You have Green Bay crushing them. We both have Tampa Bay with the upset.
So we agree on everything except
for two?
Oh, okay.
We're different on two.
All right, that works. Oh, yeah, that's right, because I'm always going to pick against, even though it's a bad matchup for Buffalo, so it doesn't matter.
It's a great matchup for them.
Yeah, whatever.
Except for the tackling. The tackling's the one thing that hurts them.
I think you're screwed either way, and I can't wait to not.
I can't believe that you're like, ooh, Baltimore scored 20 points against a bad Titans defense. You're like,
no.
I feel good.
It's like we talked about. I've even watched the last game. Buffalo can't really do much against the run.
They can't. They're good up to the tackle. Again, my only concern about that game is their tackling problems. That's it. My only concern.
Jonathan Taylor hasn't looked good that great all season. He's been off.
He was AFC Player of the Month.
You know what?
He had 780 rushing yards last month of the season.
Listen. I'm standing by what I said here. Jonathan Taylor's not looked that great all season.
Until the last 5 weeks of the year.
Either
he's crushed
way,
it.
He
only had 70 rushing yards that game.
Look at this.
70.
All you're doing right now is defending your lover.
No,
that's
I'm just saying that
is.
You're spitting lies.
You're attacking me right now because I'm saying your lover is going home.
You're spitting lies to the nation.
I'm not spitting any lies. I'm just telling
Taylor
you
Taylor had
what I
like
believe.
74 rushing yards. He averaged like 4.2 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's hella good. I love
it's
that.
Fine.
And you know Lamar Jackson's going to be able to average?
Probably
9 yards a carry.
No, probably like 7.1.
Okay, well, that's still a hell of a lot.
Yeah, it's a quarterback.
Yeah,
they
well,
usually
I still
average
feel
more.
Like that because of the snow game, that's all Lamar's going to be able to do.
No, he has that
which
week.
Means that we're going to probably have 130 in rushing, 130 in passing.
Probably 167 passing, probably 90 rushing. And he has this weak little Florida arm. Unlike the big, strong Josh Allen arm that can throw through the icy
Buffalo
wings.
We are going to size of arm now because according to Matt, his bicep isn't big enough like
Allen. No, I'm saying he has that Florida arm. He's not used to the cold, you know?
By the way, I do have to make this comment, though, on why I do want Baltimore to lose. Did you hear what Lamar Jackson freaking said?
What?
Running his mouth the way he did, saying, oh, we didn't make a stupid mistake, or we didn't make a mistake like some others do. What did you just say?
I love how much Baltimore hates Tennessee and vice versa.
What was that, though? Yeah. It was like, you don't say comments like that when this is your first playoff win. Can you please be humble for me?
Yeah.
Please? My God. I need you to beat Josh Allen. Then you can say these things.
All right.
Stupid.
It'd be fun to get Lamar Mahomes because we didn't get last year. It'd be fun.
It wouldn't be fun.
I don't think it'd be very close.
The switch better be flipped, and it better be turned up to 11.
I think KC Buffalo would be good.
I think KC Buffalo would be amazing. I'm not even going to just try to dispute that.
I can't do
it. You wouldn't be able to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to watch.
You wouldn't be able to watch. No, I'm not saying that you wouldn't. I'm just saying you wouldn't be able
I'm so
to because you're going to be like not okay.
I'm so glad I'm not drinking. I'm so glad.
Why would you be glad about that? Drinking would make you relax at this point for how bad you're going to be feeling.
It'd be bad.
Dude, you can't watch the game. You're going to be going crazy.
I'll be fine.
At least drinking would like balance you out. You being sober just going to have your heart going crazy.
It's better.
Josh.
Come on, Joshy. Joshy. Yeah, I'm going to call him Joshy Allen on Saturday.
That's disgusting.
No, it's so
you look
better.
Up what his middle name is so then you can call him by his full name.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
By the way, if his middle name was Matt, would you like cry?
Joshua Matthew.
Oh, my God. Would you cry? Joshua Matthew Allen. Oh, my God.
What a beautiful name.
No, my.
Maybe I'll name my son Allen.
Oh, my God.
How mad would you be?
Not mad because you're having a girl.
No. But until next time.
Don't name your girl Allen.
No,
if your lady is, no, do not name your girl Allen.
Until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Ballard Radio. Name for me all the time.
Watch some Bridgerton. Get some 1800 ass.
Hey, it's Kate.
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.